I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome back to On Texas Football. Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Pleased to be joined by Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel, who's still, I believe, in Vegas. Man, doing it big. You've been out there too long. You're supposed to stay in Vegas like two days. How long have you been in Vegas, CJ?
Too long, Rod. I've been here since Sunday night. I've been eating sleep and ice all week, so it's not been great out here, I'll tell you
Hey, you haven't heard? He's doing a residency out there, you know, kind of like Elvis did and some of these people. CJ Vogel's going to be in Vegas for the entire month of April, apparently.
They're going to be singing and dancing just to get that money for the flight home, man. It's been a long week.
I got to tell you, CJ, man, you're a warrior, man. That's how I know you're young. You're a young dude. You still got that type of energy because I couldn't do it. I can't stay in Vegas that long. A man who used to, I'm sure, at one point in his life did have some ventures in Vegas because he's got some adventures and some great stories from all over the place. He is a former high school football coach at Burnet, at Capel, Brownwood, at Belton, Rotan. Also a college football player at Abilene Christian. Coached there as well in multiple stints. Was on the staff at the University of Texas for five seasons and had different roles and responsibilities there as well. He is a wealth of knowledge. We are pleased to have him. Also, you can catch his work at ShipleyRanches.com. It's the coach, Bob Shipley. What's going on, coach? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Just I'm selling my house. I'm closing on it Tuesday.
Hey!
So here's what happened. So, you know, my wife passed away. And I married my neighbor. Yeah. And so I get up in the morning, okay? I have coffee with my wife. We busy a little bit. Then I go home. I walk right next door. That's like my office, you know? And I say, I'll see you this evening. And I'll come back about 5:30 or 6, you know? Well, I can't do that anymore. I'm selling my house. And so.
Okay. So but you selling your house, but you're not really moving.
No, I'm selling my house, and I lost my place to go jack around all day. So now I've got to find something else to do.
You lost your man cave. Your
I did.
Yeah, you still had kind of a little bachelor pad kind of thing.
A big bachelor pad. Yeah, it was nice until it came time to get rid of everything in that house.
Oh yeah, you know that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Women like to purge, man. Women like to they like to throw your stuff away. How much stuff did she make you throw away?
Oh man, it ain't even funny. I had all my favorite stuff in one cabinet in the hallway, and she took it upon herself to take care of that stuff for me. So yeah. I came home and it was all gone. I'm like, "Where's my stuff?" She goes, "Oh man, the dumpster came. They came and picked it up." I'm like, "Are you freaking kidding me? Your Mother's Day present was in there." Of course, I was. No, it's all good. I'm an Abilene, Texas baby. It's all good out west.
Oh man, I love it, coach. Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, love starting out the show with some laughs. Thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate all the love and the chats. If you got stuff that you want us to answer, you can interrupt the show at any time. Super chats, I've obviously jumped to the front of the line. It is NFL. Someone said, hook them from my Amazon van delivering package.
Reagan!
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, Reagan. Appreciate that, baby. Appreciate that. That's love. That's love. Hey, we appreciate y'all. When I catch my Amazon man coming in, especially in Texas, I usually offer them some water, give them a little bottle of water or something, man. You know what I'm saying? They're working hard out there. Working hard. I appreciate it. No doubt about it. All right, folks, it's NFL draft day, of course, so it's kind of an unofficial holiday in the football world. And Texas should be celebrating, all right, because they will be well represented, or at least there are a lot of people that believe they're going to be well represented in the NFL draft, especially in the first round. What's up, TB? Thank you for joining us. The Longhorns are projected by a lot of mock drafts to have as many as 3 Longhorns taken in the first round, guys. They haven't had that since the year I was born, 1980. Been a long, long time. All right, so we'll talk about that. We'll get into it. We'll have some fun with it. Of course, we still got to talk Texas football, about the team that we got a chance to basically preview, the sneak peek we had during the spring game of the Texas team. So we'll talk about that. Of course, the transfer portal giveth and it taketh away. We'll talk to my man CJ Vogel about the transfer portal target still for the Longhorns, and also the departures. We'll get into that a little bit too. But all your questions, of course, we'll answer those. We've got a lot of NFL draft discussion on the show today, and we'll talk about the guys that are leaving, going into the NFL, and their legacy on the 40 acres. That's a conversation I think will be interesting to get into. But first, let's get the business out of the way, CJ. The transfer portal. The Longhorns now, after losing 2 defensive backs, I believe the number is 8 total. Transfer portal departures with the Longhorns. 2 in the latest 2 have come from the defensive backfield. The biggest surprise, of course, Terrence Brooks, a starter for you, but losing Austin Jordan as well, who was a veteran, could add depth for you. Was mostly a special teams player for you and contributor. But losing 2 defensive backs, there's no question now Texas will be looking for a defensive back in the transfer portal. We know they've been looking for another defensive tackle in the transfer portal. What are the updates there?
Yeah, absolutely. Austin Jordan becomes the 8th Texas player to enter the transfer portal in this spring window, joining Terrence Brooks in that secondary. Of course, we've talked about what we expect to be an improved secondary. Well, there's going to be some question marks that will need to be answered when it comes to that rotation, what that personnel grouping looks like. Of course, we know Manny Muhammad, Gavin Holmes, and now Warren Roberson are going to be your top 3. Of course, Jahdae Barron's had snaps out wide, as has Jalen Gilbo. So are those pieces going to be often your answer out wide? We'll see. But right now, you start looking at who's departed so far this spring. And, of course, Samaje Burrell was the first, followed by Peyton Kirkland, Billy Walton, Jamon Tapp on the edges. You had Zach Swanson, Savion Redd, and then Brooks and Jordan back deep. Rod, I wanted to ask you this, because in this conversation about the portal and the defensive backs, you have Terrence Brooks. You have Austin Jordan entering the portal. But then you go back to the end of the 2023 season, and you've had guys like Jaron Thompson, Keaton Crawford, Larry Turner Gooden, B.J. Allen, Xavier Bryce, you know, Jalen Catalan. That's a lot of departures from that group. A lot of guys with experience, a lot of guys that played a lot last year. And while right now I don't think Texas is necessarily worried about depth, an injury or two could certainly make things interesting when it comes to what that actual rotation looks like as a result of all of these departures from a year ago. So I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about the depth entirely of that secondary unit.
It's a bit concerning right now, because the depth you do have is young. It's young. They got guys with high upside. A lot, I think, because they've lost so much of the veterans who were going to stabilize them in that defensive backfield. You talked about the transfer portal window, the previous one, and now this spring you have 2 other defensive backs leaving. So the frontline guys, your frontline starters, I think you're fine there. I do think you have, you know, Derek Williams, you got Manny Muhammad, you got Makuba, you got Jahdae Barron. I mean, those are really good players. Texas wants to rotate. They want a healthy rotation. So, you know, just spitball it. I would say that your frontline starters are playing, 60 to 65% of your reps, especially depending on the game you want them to play more. They still rotate guys. They still rotate. So 30 to 35% of those reps are going to be guys that they have in the rotation. So I think cross-training is helping. That manufactures depth. So I love that they're bringing in guys with versatility and they're cross-training their guys. But my fear is that a lot of the young players you saw in the spring game, who are really talented guys, Xavier Filson, he's going to be a hell of a player. Kobe Black's going to be a hell of a young player for him. Jordan Johnson-Rebell, Wardell Mack. I mean, I think these guys are going to be really good. But they might end up being the death in that secondary potentially, and you may need one or two of those young guys to provide you some depth in your rotations if you don't have enough of them, because you have veteran guys now who have departed via the transfer portal. So that's right. My concern. So I'm glad they're cross training, and I would also, and we've talked about this, and I've got to go back and look at the games last season to see what the actual rotations are, basically what the Texas rotations in the defensive backfield are like, and I try to document them, because from my understanding, a lot of times they did some wholesale rotations, and I've talked about this. I'd rather them do mixing and matching, different configurations within the secondary, rather than wholesale changes, switching out your safeties and switching out your cornerbacks. I'd like them to have more of the veterans in there to stabilize things, but also add different pieces and mix and match more in the secondary when you're rotating, rather than the wholesale rotations. And I think you can do that because you have versatile pieces. You have Makuba, you got Jadae Barron, you've got guys that can play multiple positions who you could potentially, Jalen Gilbo, who you can move around. So that's the hope. I like the direction they're going in, but there's no question they need to both. They need a young guy to step up. Maybe that's Gilbo. They need somebody to step up who wasn't anticipated to be a starter or someone to be a guy that can be heavily considered in the rotation. And maybe that's Jalen Gilbo. But they also need to go get somebody in the transfer portal. And that brings us to one of the questions here. AJJ underscore sports, I heard it's going to be an uphill battle to get Mario Davis. Derek also wants to know any news on DB visits this week. Let's talk about it. What are your thoughts, CJ, on the defensive backs that Texas could potentially bring in the transfer portal?
Yeah, Dakario Davis is the top guy, of course. He's CB1 in the portal right now that Texas is interested in. They're going to make a push for him. He entered the portal during the winter portion of the offseason. Of course, he did actually go through spring football a little bit with this new staff. So he wanted to give them an opportunity to win him over, to understand that I like Arizona. I like these teammates. I like where I'm at. I want to give this staff a try. Of course, the market for him is going to be very high. You don't see 6'4 cornerbacks that often, especially ones that can turn their hips and run with the way that he can do that. So Texas is interested. Of course, it certainly helps having Johnny Nansen on staff right now. We've seen Texas already, reap some rewards there with Bill Norton and Tia Savea. So can they add a third? This would probably be the biggest one of the bunch. You know, this is a top-end cornerback. This is a guy that can you can rely on to lock down one side of the field more times than not. Aside from him, Anthony Johnson Jr. out of Western Kentucky is a guy I've been told that Texas is interested in as well. Entered the portal after the spring season, or after the season in December as well. But man, this is a guy that's, he was the defensive MVP of Western Kentucky in the bowl game this year. 5'11", not the biggest guy, but he's sticky in coverage. He's got great hips. The fluidity is there. He can cover. He's a guy that you would trust in the field or the boundary to man that side of the field. Texas is looking at him right now. I think one of the two, you're going to see a very strong push, and it would not surprise me to see a visit set up for either this weekend or early next week, Monday, Tuesday, in that range.
Hey, coach here, Zadecki Cornelson wants to know, how do I get a Shipley hat? Go to ShipleyRanches.com, right?
Or you can stop by Burnett and buy one at the Airy Mount Ranch. They're just on the east side of Burnett, right on the edge of Burnett. Yeah. We got the Shipley Ranches headquarters out there, and I tell you what, it's tough because I got people hit me up all the time. Hey, send me a hat. Well, it ain't cheap to send somebody a hat. First, I got to pay for the hat. Then I got to go find something to put it in. And then I got to pay for the postage to send it. I mean,
send me a hat. Coach saying back, buy a ranch.
Some people I give hats to, Rod Babers, they don't even wear them. So,
Coach, I wear the hat. What are you talking about? I love wearing the stupid hat. I love it. I wear it, Coach. I promise you. It is on my hat rack right now because I wear both of the hats.
That's the problem. It's on your hat rack. It's on your hat rack. It ain't on your head. That's the problem.
All right. You know what, Coach? You know what? You called me out. All right. You know what? See, you know what? I'm gonna have to prove myself. So now, from now on, y'all gonna see me represent Shipley.
Hey, look
Shipley
at that Rangers. Finger. That looks like Charlie Strong's finger, don't it? Remember that picture of Charlie Strong?
Oh man.
In the Texas OU game.
I didn't expect Coach to get on me for that one. Hey, expect the Coach to get on me for that one. All right, you know what? I'm going to represent.
Okay.
I like the hat. They're nice hats. That's why people keep asking me for them. They're really nice hats. And I appreciate that, Coach. You said, yeah, thank you very much. I know I've said that, but I appreciate it. I'm going to start wearing it on. I'm going to wear it out now. I'm going to wear it out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Look at that. See, you put it over there. I ain't quite got what Charlie's got. Of course, I'm a white boy. You wouldn't expect me to be what Charlie is, but close.
No, Coach should wear a form today. See, we just gotta give Coach the floor. Coach should wear a form, man. Coach should wear a form. All right. See, Coach, you got me distracted. I was gonna get back to more questions, but here's what I got. Okay, this is a topic setter. But then we won't answer this question, but I just wanted to bring up the topic so that people can think about it, and then we'll talk about it and discuss it as well. All right, out of the Longhorns who are heading to the NFL draft today, and there'll be 12 Longhorns who are eligible for the draft, but we know only three of them are likely to get drafted in the first round. But this is draft weekend, basically, for these guys. And the hope is that Texas will have, you know, 8 guys drafted, something along those lines, a real big number. Which one of the players – and this was an idea from my man Bobby Burton. It was a great one, too. Which one of the players leaving had the best career or legacy at Texas among the Longhorns who left?
Ooh.
Just to think about it.
Don't answer.
Don't answer it yet. I want you to think about it a little bit. And don't start this. And out there, of course, in the chat, send us some. I want y'all to think about it for a little bit. And then we're going to come back and discuss it because – I think it's an interesting topic too, and then you start talking about the legacies of all these guys, all time at Texas.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, it's impressive. It's an impressive class. It really is in terms of their individual accomplishments. But we already talked about what they've done as a team, turning around the program, bringing Texas back to prominence. So I think we should give these guys their props. We'll talk about the legacy a little bit of these players coming out in the draft. Okay, first we got to hit this super chat because super chats jump to the front of the line. So before we talk about that topic, I wanted to hit this with V Brown. Thank you very much for the super chat. We appreciate it. Rod, do you have faith, Terry Joseph, as a developer? Currently, I will admit this season is going to determine a lot about how much faith I have in Terry Joseph as a developer of talent. Because I'll say this, this is for me, I'm not going to say it's not an excuse, but I do think it's the reason, my opinion, the reason why the secondary is the only position group, in my opinion, that hasn't improved since Sark has been here. A lot of other position groups, linebacker, D-line, look at the edges this year. They're going to be fantastic. It's going to be tremendous. You know, O-line, running back, wide receiver, quarterback. I mean, all across the board, every position has gotten better. Secondary has not gotten better since Sark has been here. Now, I believe the biggest reason why, V. Brown, is because it was the last phase of roster construction for Sark. Sark won't admit this, but just as an observer, you go look at when he first came here, what did they bring in? Big humans, quarterbacks, wide receivers. Sark was an offensive guy, calling the plays. He wanted his offense, and I feel it. I'm glad he did that. That's modern football anyway. He built his offense, and then they started winning to the defense. So basically, I'll give the credit to the defensive coaches. They maximized what they inherited, really, on defense, more so than what they recruited, right? Guys they inherited like Tavondre Sweat, and guys they inherited in at secondary, like, you know, Jadae Barron was one of the guys they inherited. DeMarvion Overshown, you know, they inherited a lot. And then it seems like to me that was last, or at least it was not the priority in roster construction. And that's why now you got your phenoms and prodigies on defense, your Anthony Hills and your Colin Simmons and your Derek Williams, Malik Hunt, but they're all young because they just started working on those. You only got so many talent acquisition cycles. You can only bring in so much talent at a time. And they prioritize offense. And I think now they're prioritizing defense, and they're going to build this defense just like they built that offense over the next, like, two cycles, two or three cycles of talent acquisition. So I think that's a big reason. So I'll give it as a little leeway there, but there's no doubt there is talent there now. What I saw in the spring game was, I'm not going to say it, borderline inexcusable, because it wasn't sophisticated concepts or fancy concepts. It was basic stuff. And it was the same stuff that Texas was getting beat on last year and the year before that. So I'll give you that, V Brown, that a lot of the issues that existed, them being able to defend switch releases and pass off receivers in coverage, them having bad leverage, not defending, not being really not being, I would say, effective in inside leverage and maintaining the inside leverage, discipline in maintaining the inside leverage, just little things. And I think it ultimately, I see the same issues, at least I saw the same issues in the spring game. So I'll say, CJ, this is the year. If this year they don't improve and it's a, they still are one of the worst secondaries, at least pass defense wise in the country, then I'll give it to you because there's talent there and the sum of its parts isn't adding up.
I think it's worth mentioning or at least highlighting that the Texas defense has gotten better holistically. You know, when it comes to total yards, points on the board, each year they've gotten better.
Situational football.
Yeah. Even with that secondary falling and not seeing a continual consistency in play, the pass defense has gotten worse actually every year that this staff has been here. But that defense as a unit, more so in that front seven, you know, when you talk now about the edges taking that step up and what we've seen in the interior over the last 2 years, that's been, you know, your bread and butter for PK. So if there are any PK doubters right now in the chat, there shouldn't be after these last 3 years, or at least there should be very few. You know, that's a great sign that while the secondary has gotten worse somehow over the last 3 years, the defense in its entirety has gotten significantly better from year one. Now we're looking at it in which that edge rushing room should be a strength, especially when you add in a guy like Anthony Hill and David Benda in your linebacking group right now. So that's encouraging. That'll figure it out. It starts from the inside out. And I think the secondary, because of what we'll see with that edge pressure and with this pressure up the middle, it should help itself a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Coach, I think I'm going to start with you on this one from Robert Pope. Thank you, Robert, for the super chat. We are very grateful. Thank you for being part of the On Texas football family. Coach and CJ, all of us, which area on defense is most urgent? In other words, if you can only get one cornerback to Carlyo Davis or the defensive lineman Dominique Williams, which one would you prioritize? Which one do you now? We know that in reality, you can have both, and that's what Texas is going to try to do is get both. But I think he's throwing out a, kind of the thought experiment here of if you can only have one of them, which one would you prioritize? And it's basically throwing out there, and I believe we should discuss this. Which area on defense is more concerning to you right now, the interior D line or the secondary? Coach, which one concerns you most right now after watching the spring game?
Well, Robert, I appreciate that, Robert. And I would say, without a doubt, Davis is, you know, if you got to have one, we need immediate help back there. I also want to say this, and I want to be careful how I say this, because Blake Gideon and his family have been friends. I've known Blake's mother since I was like 15 years old. I've known Blake's dad since, I mean, a great high school football coach in Texas. I've known Blake since he was in elementary. Does he deserve part of the blame, you know, along with Terry Joseph, with what's going on back there? I think the corners are probably a little less developed, I think, maybe than our safeties. But still, you know, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but it's a concern. It's a concern. And I think we've proven that we have some guys up front, although we didn't have a great spring game up front, although we didn't have a lot of success rushing the ball, running the ball on offense. But without a doubt, as many guys as we can get on the secondary, to me, that's the most obvious glaring weakness that we need immediate help in. Or the development of younger players on a faster pace.
Yep, I agree with that. That's what I said. Somebody, one of those young guys stepping up on, like you said, Coach, an accelerated rate of development. And maybe it's just Gilbo. Maybe it's – hopefully it is him. I think that would help them out a lot if it was. But I think I would go secondary right now too. I'm a little biased, but it's more concerning to me because you have Bill Norton now on campus. I love what I saw from Sevilla. I think in the interior D-line – hell, you know, in terms of Alfred Collins, you know, Vernon Broughton wasn't available, but you got Vernon Broughton still. You add those Arizona guys to that mix. Now you're talking about four in the rotation. What does Sadir Mitchell give you? What can a young Alex January do? You start thinking, okay, start looking at that defense, interior defense line with a more optimistic view. The secondary, though, it was an issue last season. Giving up the deep balls was an issue last season. You had that in the spring game, too. You just lost two starters. CJ mentioned the players you lost in the previous transfer portal. I'm a little concerned about saying that because, and I think the reason that Terry Joseph's name comes up because he's the pass game coordinator, correct? He's the one that coordinates the secondary together. And the issue is with the secondary, one of the big issues, one of them, is that they have talent now, but it seems like as a unit, they still give up a lot of plays. Like there's talent back there, but as a unit, it doesn't necessarily all work effectively. Seems like they're not all what Coach Akin used to call hive-minded. Everybody on the same page in that defensive backfield. So you're right. There's enough blame to go around. This is a big year for the secondary. There's no doubt for the coaches in the secondary and the players. Big year for those guys. And as a DB, you guys know I'll be watching closely. Y'all know that. Let's give a shout out to our sponsors, and then we'll come back and talk about the legacy of these players and get into some NFL draft discussion. I know CJ's excited about the NFL draft, the first round tonight. So we'll get into that discussion. But first, let's thank our wonderful sponsor, a new sponsor of ours, South Point Dodge. Really, really excited about this. South Point Dodge folks and Texas football fans, you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock and their award-winning sales staff. They don't waste time, folks, and they don't play games, gimmicks. They understand your time is valuable. They don't want to waste it. They just get right to the point by getting you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can come, you can go see them off I-35 in South Austin or at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. Thank our wonderful sponsor, Flat Creek Estate Winery. They have won 11 awards, folks, in 30 days, including double Gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in the awards right now, and it's just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, so now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek Estate is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the entire family all spring long. Check out their website for wine tasting, chef dinners, and even make reservations to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more information, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com for more information. And yes, I can personally attest to the beauty and how gorgeous that venue is out there at Flat Creek. And I am planning on going to see it again, trying to make those Mother's Day plans, but getting two mothers on the same page is tough. It ain't easy. My mother and the new mother, it ain't easy, Coach, getting them on the same page. And sometimes I think my wife doesn't want to be on the same page with my mom. I don't know.
Of course she doesn't.
Sometimes I think she's working against me, but we're going to figure it out. We're going to work it out. It's a family, man. It's what we do. All right, let's get into the Longhorn family a little bit and talk about this. Longhorns are really going to be excited and proud this weekend watching so much representation of the Longhorn brand in the draft. You might have as many as three Longhorns taken in the first round. But there are 12 Longhorns who are essentially eligible for the NFL draft that are leaving. And the question was presented to me by Bobby Burden. I think it's a good one. You know, which one of these players leaving the 40 acres had the best career and legacy at Texas while they were here, in your opinion? And I know you can get into a lot because there's a case to be made for four of these guys potentially.
Yeah. I mean, Clyde's got hardware.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in. And first of all, We had a text earlier from an old friend, family friend, Kelly Duvall, who was a, I don't know if he still is a police officer in Georgetown, but thank you for your service, Kelly. His family has been, his dad was one of my dad's best friends growing up and down there in Burnett County, and appreciate Kelly giving me a shout out on this. But I'm going to go with the homegrown guys. I'm going with the guys who came in as freshmen and worked through Xavier Worthy to Rondre Sweat. Those two guys, I would love to have back another year. They've come through from the very start as freshmen, 18-year-old kids, 17-year-old kids coming in. They've stayed the course, have stayed with Sark. They've bought into his philosophy. They've bought into his culture, and they wound up being, really good. The third one that I'd like to have back is Jay Witt, just because he's so good in the locker room, and he's so good for the entire team. You know, those three guys are homegrown guys. They came in as freshmen. We recruited them. I was involved in all of their recruitment. And those are the three guys that I think have left a legacy at UT, especially Jay Witt, that will be not soon forgotten.
I like that. Hey, Coach, let me ask you this, because, I mean, you know a little something about receivers. I won't get into try to ranking guys. I know you don't want to get into that. That's because for you, it's a little personal. Can we all agree that Xavier Worthy top five all time at Texas as a receiver?
No doubt. And if he were to come back, for another year, would probably be the best receiver in the history of the program.
Wow.
Ooh.
You know, I think so. I think he's that good. Wow. He has grown and matured so much. And developed into just a great all-around player. Doesn't like to block too much, but when a guy's that small, you don't expect him to block a whole lot. We'll let Jay Witt take care of that. If we're going to have them both back, we'll be golden.
Yeah, a dude that fast, I don't need him blocking. I'm good. I just just run him off. Run him off.
That's right.
Run him off. He good. He got to respect your speed. CJ, what about you? I love the Jay Witt thing, because that's why I think the question is interesting when you're talking about legacies in career. The legacy of Jay Witt is interesting, and it left an impression on all Longhorn fans, kind of like Rojo. He's a culture bearer. And you watched him struggle, you go through adversity, and it almost reminds Longhorn fans of what the program went through. And now those guys, when they actually now have an opportunity to shine and they get their chance to play at the next level or live out their dream, for Longhorn fans, I think it is very satisfying. Because they're culture bearers and they really are products of a healthy program. Yeah. They have those guys. And I think that's what it is. But anyway, CJ, go ahead. You got the floor.
Yeah. The guy from this draft that will leave the best legacy at Texas, to me, it's not close. It's Xavier Worthy. Coach, you mentioned him top five all time. Absolutely. He's in that conversation. He's the fourth leading wide receiver in Texas history in 3 years. He was the number one wide receiver for Texas for three straight years. You can't say that too many times in the program's history. Coming in as Steve Sarkisian's number one and first overall recruit during his tenure at Texas, it set the standard for what kind of playmaker Sarkisian was going to litter the field with during his time at Texas. There wasn't many players on that roster like Xavier Worthy. You know, there just weren't. That first year, you didn't have that kind of speed across the field on either side of the ball. You had some good players. You had Roshan, you had Bijan. You had some good talent. But aside from that, you didn't have a guy like Xavier Worthy that could go stretch the field, that could make instant impact plays and be a good face for your program. That just wasn't the case at the time. So it really set the standard for what Texas has turned into now. And, of course, the kind of talent and wide receiver specifically that we're seeing on offense through Sarkisian's you don't have an Isaiah Bond without Xavier Worthy. You don't get a Jonte Cook most likely without seeing what Xavier Worthy can do.
Yeah.
Specifically more so with Orion Wingo, the five-star out of St. Louis, who sees how Sarkisian's deployed his wide receivers in the past, dating back to Alabama as well, and now is thinking, oh, yeah, he's doing it at Texas. He's got the fastest wide receiver in the history of the combine, three straight years in All-American conversation. So, to me, it's without question Xavier Worthy. But to y'all's point, I loved what you had to say about Jordan Whittington, because that does matter. And when you go through coaching changes and you've kind of been in the dumps and you've not had great winning seasons, and that coach is able to then turn that corner and find success, a lot of that is because of the people in the locker room and the veterans on the team that set the standard. So, yeah, it's going to be a guy like Roschon Johnson a year ago that we're having this conversation about, even in that same draft class with Bijan. You know, it's that locker room guy. So Jordan Whittington absolutely deserves his flowers. Christian Jones as well, because he stuck it out. You know, man, 2020 when Texas was, you know, on the field, he was, you know, he's a guy that you're looking at thinking, I don't know if his future is at tackle. I don't know if his future is at guard. I don't know if he has a future in football. And yet, year after year, we saw that continual progression, and, you know, credit to Kyle Flood a lot there as well. But Christian Jones deserves as much flowers as anybody in this class for even being in the conversation to be a potential third-round pick. You know, that's crazy from what we saw very early in his career. So credit to him. And also, man, it's just even more exciting for why this weekend is going to be so fun for Longhorn fans.
No, that's a good point about Christian Jones, because I saw the Daniel Jeremiah big board where he had Christian Jones as the fourth highest ranked Longhorn prospect right after Byron Murphy, Xavier Worthy, and A.D. Mitchell. And I thought to myself, wow, that is mind-blowing, considering this is a guy that it was thought of, coach, as a late-round pick, and then now through the process, you know, was moved himself up people's boards to be a mid-round pick, and now you're talking about a guy that could be drafted, you know, high third round, somewhere around there. It is really, really a great story. It's a great story, and it shows – I think he's also one of those guys that shows, you know, the Texas offensive line has been a – it's been a kind of a Shakespearean tragedy on the 40 acres a little bit, right? And they're trying to change that narrative, Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian with the big humans. And Christian Jones was a guy that they inherited. And I'm with you, CJ. If you would have asked me 3 years ago, I'd be like, no, he's not a guy that's going to get drafted. No, he's not that kind of player. And he really did cultivate his skill set, coach, and turned himself into being not only a draftable player, but a guy that's going to be drafted in the middle rounds of the NFL draft. That is a phenomenal story and a testimony to the talent development on the 40 acres.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's good stuff, man. It's fun, you know, seeing these guys develop for years. You know, coach, you can talk about this a little bit more in depth as well, but you hear about all these big time players coming into to Texas, and, you know, you hear about the stars and the rankings and how excited, you know, the folks are for those guys to be program changers. And sometimes, you know, they just don't end up shaping out. Sometimes it's development, other times it's injury. But for the last decade, it kind of felt like that was the trend at Texas. Now, not so much. You're seeing guys rise up on draft boards, whereas coming in, you didn't necessarily think that they had that in them. You know, Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy to an extent. Jalen Ford was the lowest rated recruit in that 2021 recruiting class. You know, he was that lowest recruit. Now he's going to get drafted as well. So it's all about development. And now it feels like across the board, which we're still lagging a little bit in the secondary, but everywhere else you're seeing guys raise their draft stock. And that's impressive.
Yeah. All of these stories are kind of great stories to tell in development. Even the JT Sanders story, right? Guy came in as an athlete, could have played defense, could have played edge, focused on tight end. And it's a great story about Jeff Banks turning him into one of the best tight ends in the country. So that is what that was the missing piece for Texas, mostly was the talent development. They certainly will, I think, showcase that in the NFL draft coming up. All right, I've got a question for you guys, and then we'll get to some of the other questions here in the chat. But this is one related to the Texas football. And we'll also get to more NFL draft discussion. I'm going to get you guys' thoughts about who's going to make potentially a good fit. There's some mock drafts that I think are going to be interesting to talk about, the last ones right before the draft coming up tonight. But which Longhorns on the roster right now, since we're talking about the first round of the NFL draft tonight, which Longhorns on the roster right now, in your opinion, have first round upside? They have that kind of potential, potentially. We're not saying they're going to be first round picks. I know you don't want to say that. Who knows? But in your opinion, they have that kind of upside. They got that kind of ceiling. And not all players reach their ceiling. I don't know if I reached my ceiling as a player. There are certain things that will keep you from that. Injury can keep you from that. Work ethic, bad attitude, not focusing, not prioritizing, all that. Bad culture, a lot of things that can keep bad, not in the right system. A lot of things can keep you from reaching your ceiling. But which one of these players have that first round ceiling, in your opinion? Coach, I want to ask you first. So which guys do you think, in your opinion, on the roster, or at least a couple guys, one or two, will have that first round?
Well, I got three. I got Byron Murphy. I got A.D. Mitchell. I got Xavier Worthy.
No, the guys on the roster right now. The guys, like, currently on the roster.
Currently on the roster.
Yeah.
Guys that are coming back next season.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
That's a tough
one. I know. Exactly. CJ, you can take it. I know. No, it ain't. That's what I said. I'm trying to give a little context to it, though. It's not guys you're saying are going to be a first round pick, just guys you think have that kind of upside and ceiling. But of course, you know, whether a guy reaches the ceiling or not, there are a lot of factors that can play into that. So, CJ, you take it. Who you think? Anybody on this current team? I know a couple of guys are easy, but. Yeah. That comes to mind for you?
Well, Quinn Ewers and Kelvin Banks are probably the most obvious ones, right? Like, those are the guys that we're seeing the way too early 2025 mock drafts with their names included. But then you start looking around. Isaiah Bond has top-end speed, a big year in the Texas system. Maybe you start hearing a little bit more about Xavier 2.0 in the first round. A long shot to me a little bit, but more so on the defensive side of the ball. I think you got some really talented prospects. Anthony Hill, to me, is a first-round caliber guy at 240. You know, to be 6'3", 240 in the middle of your line, middle of your defense, still running as quickly as he is. With two more years of development under his belt, I could certainly see him going in the top 20 in 2026. Also, Colin Simmons, the five-star defensive edge. We know that he's been wrecking havoc basically the entire spring. Five-star guy out of high school. That's a guy for me I'll keep a close eye on. And then Ryan Wingo going back to offense. Just again, if we're talking about him in the conversation as the best wide receiver prospect since Roy Williams – that sounds to me like a future first-round caliber guy. So those three right now really stand out to me. Of course, you'll have guys like Derek Williams, getting that conversation. What happens with, you know, Ethan Burke, Baron Sorrell even. Yeah. I think they're all kind of flirting around with that day two grade at the moment. DJ Campbell's an interesting one. Cam Williams, will it be this year? Will it be next year? Who knows? But I think those three that I mentioned earlier all have – potential right now to be first round caliber guys.
Yeah. Did you say Arch?
No, I didn't, but he's absolutely in that conversation. I don't know how I forgot that one.
No, but I know you were talking about more guys, the more immediate. Arch is the future. We know that. I'll throw Arch in there. That's another one. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's interesting. I mean, there are some guys I think that just have that. They have that ceiling. I think there are fewer on defense. Kind of goes to my point that they're now starting to build on defense and get some of those guys. They're younger, those guys who have that kind of ceiling on the defensive side of the ball. All right, guys, we'll get into some questions here. Then we'll get back some NFL draft talk because I got some mock draft that I want to get you guys' opinion on. My man CB wants to know, Rod, what do you remember about your NFL draft experience? What were you doing? Well, I was in Houston. I was just hanging out with my parents. I didn't want to have a party or anything because I didn't know where I was going to be drafted, and I didn't want to be embarrassed or ashamed just sitting around watching people get drafted. And everybody's like, man, when are you going to get drafted? I thought you said you was going down. You said you were going in the second round because the coaches and teams will tell you anything. All right. That we know that. They'll just tell you whatever. And I didn't know exactly where I was going. I knew I was going somewhere in the middle rounds. That's really all I knew. So I was like, I'm just going to enjoy myself. And I'll admit, watching the NFL draft, everybody watching the draft pretty much outside the top five picks believe they should have been drafted higher. That's just the reality of every competitor watching the draft. Everybody believes they should. That is just the reality of it. So your experience watching, yes, I think there's a lot of joy for the guys who are drafted early in the first round. They probably think that for a second, like, man, Hey, but I'm still a first rounder. It's all good. Got money. You know, it comes to me. The further you fall, the further you are, the later you are drafted, that moment of, man, I should have been drafted higher. You have that after every pick. Like, you start thinking to yourself, like, man, then they're gonna draft. And then you start seeing players that you played against get drafted higher, and players, you know, you played against that you thought, oh man, I was a little better than that. I thought I might be a better player than that guy. Interesting. Then you start seeing players at your position drafted higher, and you go, I thought I was a better player than him. Oh man, I guess they don't, you know, because the draft is about a lot about measurables. Think about it. Mikal Thompson was drafted ahead of Quandre Diggs.
Yeah.
That's the draft. The draft's about measurables, and it's about your potential as a player, the upside of a player. So there are guys that will get drafted ahead of you. They may not be a better player than you, but, hey, they got better upside than you. They got higher upside than you, and that's what they're looking at. So and if it's good, though, because the chip on your shoulder is supposed to grow as a result of that as a player and a competitor. But I'll admit, for most players, it's a little frustrating. I had a guy get drafted ahead of me who had gotten shot like a month ago. I'm not joking. Coach, he had gotten shot like a month or like 6 weeks before the draft. And I want to say he probably got the news in a hospital or something. Like, he had gotten shot. His name was Dennis Weathersby. Go look it up. And I was like, hold up. That guy drafted ahead of me. That guy got shot. Like, they think he's a better player than me. I can't even run or practice or anything. So it's one of those things where, you know, your mind is playing tricks on you.
It's like you're a kicker and a one-legged kicker gets picked before you.
Man. It's just bruising the ego. But well, once I was drafted, it was great. The Giants called me beforehand and were like, hey man, we're gonna take you. I was up there training with Phil Sims and with my man Chris Sims, and they have basically a gym up there, and they train guys for the combine and before the draft. And I was up there training with them anyway, and I had met some of the New York Giants. So it is kind of who you know, and that's why I got drafted by the Giants. So it was great. It was awesome. But yeah, a little bit, I dread some of that. Oh, pre-draft measurables. Look at that.
Weathersby.
Yeah, look at that.
Second round.
Yeah.
He was in a coma. You had a dude in a coma that got drafted ahead of you.
You're like, mistaken for a gang member, right? Yeah. That's it. Exactly.
And well, they still had a good draft that year. Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh. I guess they can afford
not having 3 days. It was year. 3 days before the draft. He was shot in the back.
Wow.
And that guy, they drafted ahead of Rod B.
Like, wake up my boy in a coma and tell him he got drafted ahead of Rod Babers. Hey, Rod, I tell you what, though. You never know about the draft. We got a player whose jersey has been retired. Nobody will ever wear number 12 again. And he was drafted the 85th overall pick in the third round, Colt McCoy. And Jordan Shipley was picked 84th pick, one pick before Colt McCoy.
That's crazy.
You know, they had crazy junior and senior years, but it doesn't always translate into the NFL. That's kind of like Jordan Whittington. You know, I'll take Colt McCoy, I'll take Jordan, all those guys. They ain't going to be first-round draft picks, but for what they do for your program, it's immeasurable.
Yep. No, that's a good point. I totally agree with you on that, Coach. But yeah, he was in a coma after he was drafted.
Oh, okay.
That was after he was drafted. So that wasn't, he had gotten shot before he was drafted. The coma came after, I believe. So they did not draft a dude in a coma. But that's crazy. Think about the psychology, Coach. Think about how my feelings were hurt. And I'm like, hold up, man. Dude could take a bullet for the team. Y'all out of control. Out of control.
Hey, it put a chip on your shoulder going into training camp, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did.
Put a chip on your shoulder.
Probably should have been a vest. My goodness.
Oh, man. I don't even know what that dude is doing. I shouldn't even drop his name like that.
Y'all, I'm sorry about that.
That's my fault. I shouldn't have dropped his name. Nobody would have even known if I wouldn't have dropped his name. That's on me. All right.
Google searches are skyrocketing right now.
I know. He's going to be like, man, why am I trending? What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. There you go. Let's get to another question here. How about this one from Joshua? Joshua says, question for you guys. I saw Worthy projected to the 49ers. As terrifying as that sounds, how do you guys see him as a fit there? That is scary. Because here's the thing about the 49ers. They either got to pay Brandon Ayuk big time money. We just saw Amon-Ra St. Brown just got paid top three wide receiver money. Brandon Ayuk's an all pro, so he wants his big time money. They're already paying Deebo Samuel. They can't pay Deebo. They still got to pay Purdy. They're paying Christian McCaffrey top running back money. So they could end up trading Ayuk. And if they do, I could see them drafting a receiver in the first round. And man, I could see Shano drafting Xavier Worthy. And he would use them great because they use a lot of pre-snap motion. Right. And Sark is a West Coast offense. Sark's offense is a West Coast offense. So he would be in terms of the understanding of the offense. I think it would be easier for him to understand because of the West Coast principles. The pre-snap motion would be great to get to scheme him open so that they don't just put him out there and allow DBs to press him at the line of scrimmage. So you can essentially get him on the move, a guy that can already maximize speed. So that would be a great place for him. That'd be a nightmare fit, I think, for him for a lot of teams. It would.
Yeah, it would be. The way that offense uses their weapons is, I mean, if you're a big-time wide receiver in any draft, you got to be hoping, wishing, praying, you know, begging, basically, to get into that offense. Just the way that they use them, the way that they scheme them open, of course, Xavier Worthy and what he can do with his speed and playmaking ability, that would be nightmare for anybody who has to defend not only an Xavier Worthy, but a Deebo Samuel and a Christian McCaffrey and a Jordan and a Kittle. I mean, whew. I mean, that's tough. Yeah. So that's fun. I like him, and as well, I saw the idea of the Dolphins trading up into that, you know, 28 or trading back to take Worthy there. If you add Worthy to a Waddle and a Hill, I mean, don't even play the games. Just go ahead and line them up on the 20-yard line and say, all right, first one to the end zone, basically, and we'll just race all day because that's what it's going to be. That would be an insane fit for the three.
You know how deep your safeties have to be, Coach? When you're dealing with Waddle, you'd be dealing with Tyreek Hill and Xavier Worthy, and they got A-Chain and Raheem Mostert. That would be the fastest team in the history of the NFL.
And then Raheem Mostert only had, what, 26 rushing touchdowns this year? I mean,
that's scary,
man. You can't defend that. The box is going to be so light.
That's so light. I agree with that.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a story you guys may not know, but I brought Tyreek Hill in for a visit, an official visit.
Oh, come on now. This is why Coach on the show. Give it to us.
Unfortunately, we already had it planned, and Mac Brown left, and Charlie hadn't been hired yet. So Hill came in, and I didn't have a head coach to take him to, you know.
Oh, no.
But hey, I just wanted a shot at the kid because I knew we had, you know, at least I had to get him on campus for Charlie Strong to have a chance to get him when he finally got hired. And we spent a lot of time with the track coach, of course. But you know, he wound up getting in some trouble at Oklahoma State. May have worked out best. I don't know, but the dude was just a freak, national junior college 100 meter champion. I mean, he was a freak. He was a freak. He really was. But anyway, we wind up not pulling him in, but I'm kind of hoping Xavier will get a shot with the Cowboys.
Oh.
He could be a receiver that could really give Zach all the weapons he needs.
I don't hate that. I like it. The Cowboys got to come away with somebody, right? I mean, Rod, I don't know, you're a Texans guy, so –
Yeah, I think the Cowboys at 24. The way the mock drafts are looking, because here's a couple of mock drafts, guys. We'll just go through a couple of them because there are tons of them, but a few of them that I saw. Peter Schrager, who does Good Morning Football, really connected. He has Xavier Worthy going 17th to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's early.
That's early.
They have him picked ahead of A.D. Mitchell.
Yes, he's got A.D. Mitchell going 31st to the San Francisco 49ers.
That's a good fit. That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, he's got Byron Murphy going 15 to the Indianapolis Colts. That's in Peter Schrager's latest mock draft. So he's got three Longhorns going in the first round. Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft, which is a little different. Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft, he's got Byron Murphy going 18th overall to the Cincinnati Bengals. And he's got Xavier Worthy going 31st to the 49ers. And he's got A.D. Mitchell going 32nd to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, buckle up. It's going to be a long night, but that back end of the first round is going to be all, you know, that's where you're going to see all the fireworks for Texas fans. So,
right?
That's going to be fun.
You're going to the Super Bowl champs or the team that's played in the Super Bowl. Oh, that's good. That's a perfect fit, man. That's money. That's a beautiful place to start your NFL career. I hope Absolutely. They end up in that spot. That'd be great. How about this one, though, guys? This is another one that's become popular. So Lance Zierlein, he does great work. His dad was a coach in the league, so he's really connected, too. He came out with his last mock draft. And his is really interesting in terms of where he's got Xavier Worthy. He's got Xavier Worthy going 15th. Overall to the Indianapolis Colts. He's got Byron Murphy actually going 16th, the next pick to the Seattle Seahawks. He's got A.D. Mitchell, I believe, going 31st overall to the San Francisco 49ers. Wow. That was kind of popular. Matt Miller, who we all trust and love because he's a Longhorn fan but does great work for ESPN as their draft analyst, he also has Xavier Worthy going to the Colts with the 15th overall pick. And his reasoning is, because I went and looked it up, he basically says that's the buzz. The buzz behind the scenes, the Colts really, really love Xavier Worthy. His quote was, here's one where I'm going all in on intel. The Colts have been linked to Worthy in numerous phone calls and texts over the past week, enough so that I'm buying it. But Lance Zierlein, also very connected man, is also buying it. And I know he's got NFL sources. And I know that Lance Zierlein, because he did a podcast with Steve Smith. Steve Smith's got Xavier Worthy in his top five receivers. And at first, Lance Zierlein was a little iffy on Xavier Worthy being that high. But he's come around to him because Steve Smith broke him down. And was like, no, man, this dude is the real deal. Like, he's not just a track star. He's a football player that happens to have world-class speed, not the other way around. Yep. Guys, lately – it seems like Byron Murphy is shooting up boards a little bit, and it seems like Xavier Worthy is shooting up. If you listen to the mock drafts, which may be wrong, you know, not even half the downtown, they're not right. I don't even know what the percentages are. But if some of these connected guys are right, at least the stock of Xavier Worthy is going up.
I think that's a bit weird, you know. You hear your first round guys, and you know that they're going to be in contention. And for Texas, the three, it feels like, or at least two of them, their stocks have all been rising. You know,
yeah.
Byron Murphy might be that first offender off the board. There are even mock drafts I've seen this morning with him being taken at 9 to the Bears, and I even had him there because I think, you know, you got your weapon, you got Caleb Williams, you got Keenan Allen, you got DJ Moore. Go get some help on the defensive side of the ball, and you'll really have something working there with, you know, Montez Sweat there as well in Chicago. But besides the point, Xavier Worthy's been rising up boards. Seeing him in the teens is not something that we saw a month ago or even a couple of weeks ago. A.D. Mitchell, similar story. Whereas, you know, some of those guys in the second or third round for Texas, kind of the opposite, you know.
Yeah.
Davion Sanders. Not a guy that we're expecting to hear rising his draft stock right now. Yeah. Devondre Sweat, of course, what happened off the field, not going to help his case as well. So it's a bit interesting. You know, the top-end guys are rising, and some of the guys that we're expecting to have, you know, some really solid draft showings, not necessarily helping their cases so far this offseason.
Well, JT surely didn't help his case with his bench press in the combine.
Absolutely not.
You know, That's almost embarrassing, you know, for a tight end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For a guy, they question his blocking ability too, Coach. They question his blocking ability, and now they'll make that connection where he doesn't have upper body strength. That's why. But I'll say this. I believe Texas will have at least one player, if not multiple players this weekend, that'll be traded up. They're traded for. Like, teams will trade to get them. Because I think they have unique outliers. He got the fastest man in the history of the combine. Right, but he's small. He's 166 pounds, but he's blazing fast. right? So that some teams will take him off of their board or drop him down their board. But some teams, they'll actually say he's the perfect outlier for our offense. He'll put us over the top and make us lethal. So you'll trade for that guy if you see him dropping down because he's perfect. T'Vondre Sweat. I think later on the draft, when people see him dropping in draft, because I agree with CJ, he will. He's going to be the heaviest D tackle in the NFL when he's drafted into the NFL. He's an outlier, but a hell of an outlier, because moving like that as an Outland Trophy winner and being one of the most dominant D tackles in the league, he could be perfect for certain systems. So if he starts dropping, some team will go, listen, now he's no longer a first or a second round pick. If he's dropping to the third round, we're going to trade for him because he's perfect for our system. And the value we get for getting a big man like that who can play a premium position like the tackle now, man, you can't put a price on that. So I think that's – even JT Sanders, because you talked about the coach, his athletic testing did not test well at all. Testing has dropped him off on some draft boards. But we know he can ball.
Yeah.
Contested catches, he's awesome. He's just a great football player, got great instincts. So I think somebody's going to be like, oh, you know what? All I got to do is add – I got a strength and conditioning coach that'll make him, you know, make sure he's got enough upper body strength. And I'm not using him much as a blocker. I think a team may trade for him because he's kind of an outlier. You know, a five-star, but then didn't test freaks. How many five-stars, you know, don't test well? Usually five-stars test really well because they're freaks. They're five-star freaks. He didn't because he's a hell of a football player.
Well, that's why it was so bizarre almost. You know, he looked kind of, you know, kind of zoned out during the pro day. He didn't look like it was the biggest interview or one of the biggest interviews of his life, which we've talked about at the combine as well. Coach, I wanted to get your insight on this because 8 reps on the bench press for a guy that lines up in the trenches, it's a bad number. I'll just put it bluntly. What do you do from the end of the season to the draft process? How do you stay in shape? Rod, I want your thoughts as well, having done it. But are you not always in the gym? Are you not running routes? Are you not lifting weights? I mean, those guys train to run the 40-yard dash specifically because they know those times are so coveted in the eyes of draft scouts and general managers and everybody that makes the decisions. That's what they have now. How are you not in the gym finding ways to lift double digit at 225, you know?
Well, as Rod was saying about his experience earlier, you know, they go train with people, you know. Mm-hmm. Jordan went up to Nashville and trained with Tim Tebow there at what was the name of that place they trained at? I can't even remember it now, but it makes me wonder about JT Sanders' dedication to the weight room. You know you're going to get tested. It's not like you'd show up at the combine and they go, oh, by the way, JT, come on, we want to see how many times you can put up, you know, this weight. I mean, you know it's coming. You've known it since you were 18 years old, probably, that you're going to get tested on that. And then to test that poorly, I'm sure it's a red flag for a lot of people. Either he doesn't have the DNA makeup to carry the size and the strength that he needs, or the motivation for him is not there to be in the weight room. Personally, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. But I know that there are enough people out there that probably see the same thing that a guy sitting in Abilene, Texas, who used to coach a little bit, sees. They certainly see that. I don't see him doing anything but doing what he's been doing, and that's going down. Do I think he's going to – I think he'll have a long career in the NFL. I think he'll find a niche.
Yeah.
Jay Novacek was one of the first H-backs in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He probably couldn't bench much more than that, but he had a heck of a career for a long right. time because yep. he got in the right system and got a niche. He felt he fit that niche and worked really well for him, and I only hope that can work for Sanders as well.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Good example. All right, let's before we get out of here, we're getting close to it. We'll try to answer as many questions as we can before we get out of here. But first, let's thank our fantastic sponsors one more time. South Point Dodge, really proud to have them on the team. Speaking of the team, you can actually head on over and see their team down there at South Point Dodge. Longhorn fans, if you want an easy extra point this season, you can get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff. They don't waste time, folks. They don't play games, or they're not trying to hustle you. They're trying to get right to the point and get you the best deal available. So score big at South Point Dodge. Come see them, or go see them, I should say, at I-35 off South Austin off I-35, or go visit southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. We appreciate their support. We also appreciate the support of Flat Creek Estate Winery. Flat Creek has won 11 awards in 30 days, including double Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery are raking in the awards right now. It's just a few minutes from the heart of Austin. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs. So now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the whole family all spring. Check out their website for wine tastings, chef dinners, and even make a reservation to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more information, please go online and visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. We appreciate their support as well, sponsoring the winning drive. We appreciate you guys out there. And if you want even more great content from the On Texas Football family, you can be an On Texas Football OG. That's right. We want you guys to become an On Texas Football OG, an OTF OG. Join us at OnTexasFootball.com. They're running a special right now. It's $20 off an annual subscription to the site if you use the code OTFOG. Use the code OTFOG for $20 off instead of $60 a year. It's just $39.95. Or you can get a monthly subscription for just $5.95. For more insider news on the team and recruiting, make sure you check out OnTexasFootball.com and become an OG. All right, real quickly here, we'll fire through a couple of questions before we wrap it up. Someone, Sandman, says, here's a crazy idea. How about Huff Daddy? I assume they're talking about coaching the DBs here from our conversation earlier. Huff Daddy's out there. Huff Daddy is out there. He's out there. I see him all the time. Right?
Every day.
Every day. He's out there. So maybe we should, I ain't going to say we will blame Huff Daddy now too. Yeah. Y'all won't talk that stuff to Huff Daddy. Y'all talk about.
No, I ain't talking. I'm not saying anything to Huff Daddy.
Y'all ain't said that. See, y'all quiet now. Huh? Y'all want to talk trash on Coach Gideon. And that's my boy, 21, baby, DBU. Talking trash on, talking about Coach Joseph. Ain't now one of y'all said, man, what Huff Daddy teaching them dudes out there? Uh-huh. Yeah, what y'all got to say now?
Rod, I got a question. What great DB in University of Texas from Willow Ridge High School wore number 21 for the Horns?
Wow.
From Willow Ridge High School
wore number 21.
Early 90s at Texas. Hey, can anybody throw that up? Throw it in the chat. If you got it, throw it in the chat. Willow Ridge High School.
Is it DB? DB?
DB, corner, stud.
Stud, DB.
My younger brother, Stephen Shipley, was a receiver at Texas at the same time. And they had great battles going on every time they played.
Oh, man, Coach. I'm stumped on this one. Really, Rich, I should know this. It was H-Town.
Number 21, baby.
And number 21. I know the lineage of the 2-1.
Yeah.
I am stumped. Are you going to reveal this or you going to keep me in the dark?
I thought maybe we might have somebody in the chat throw it up there. Nope,
no, Prince Jeremy is from Angleton.
Yeah, Willow Ridge High School,
and he was number 21. You said he was number 21.
88, 89.
Wow,
from Willow Ridge, TJ Ford.
I remember Willow Ridge because Willow Ridge had some good looking women. Willow Ridge had some good looking women back in the day. I'm telling you right now, we used to go to Willow Ridge like games and stuff. And oh man, they was just I don't know what was happening, what was in the water over there, but it was impressive. It was anyway. All right. So, Coach, at the end of the show, Coach will reveal the answer. We'll give people some time to get it out there. Coach will reveal the answer at the end. We'll take like two more questions, then we'll get into there. David Keith Williams, because of the importance of the D-tackle position, I would not be surprised if Byron Murphy was the highest drafted defensive player this season. I would not be either. That has been buzz. Daniel Jeremiah, as well as Dane Brookler, both said they would not be surprised if he shot into the top 10. Of the NFL draft, because first of all, it's going to be a crazy draft. You could have a record set for offensive players taken in the draft. The record is 19 offensive players taken in the first round of the NFL draft. I project you're going to have 20. You're going to break there, maybe even 21. So what's going to happen is the best defensive players in the draft, Grady Kavnis. Is that
CB
it?
Got it.
Oh,
I knew it was going to be CB. I knew it was.
The crazy part about it, that name came to my mind because when people talk about the greatest number 21s, people try to say, you know, it might be Grady Kavnis, but the truth is it's me. But, you know what I mean? Yes, I've heard that name before. So I thank you, CB. CB, you are the man. You are the man. But getting back to it, yeah, so defensive players, you're going to get really good defensive players that are actually going to fall down, going to drop down in this draft. They're going to drop in the draft because you're going to have three quarterbacks, four quarterbacks potentially taken in the top 10, three wide receivers taken in the top 10, a lot of offensive players. So that could be the case. A lot of people saying that somebody's going to get a steal with Byron Murphy really high up in the draft, and they're not going to let him drop down. So we'll see about that. And you're right. Defensive tackle is a premium position now. AJJ underscore sports, Rod, did any of the freshman DBs impress you in the spring game? I would like to say yes, but the truth is they did not. That does not mean they are not a talented group. I think they are a really talented group, but they did not impress in the spring game. I mean, they threw for damn near 700 some yards. So
yeah,
it's they did. Kobe Black got an interception, but look at the competition level there. So I was not that impressed with the young DBs, but I really like that group of DBs. If that's possible to say. All right. Rod, someone says Michael Morrison. Last one, Jordan Shipley, NIL worth. Jet deal. Do we think Jordan Shipley would have got NIL deal? He would have got some great NIL deals in Texas because he did embody Texas cowboy, country boy, and he'd have had the cowboy boots, the cowboy hats, probably some music place because he's a musician too. Oh, he'd have had a bunch of them, no doubt. And him and Colt would have had something together because they BFFs, right? So
they were roommates, right?
Yeah, so some combo deals. Oh man, he'd have cleaned up. Coach, he'd have been buddy, bought a ranch. He'd have had a ranch before y'all started Shipley Ranches. He'd had already.
That would have been good. That would have been good. Unfortunately, they weren't even paying for the laundry until my last one, Jackson, graduated. Then they started giving you laundry money. We missed out on it.
Hey, now,
Coach, they're coming home with the stinky piles and the trash bags just for Sunday dinner. Is that right?
That's right.
Good to know the Shipleys.
That's right.
They're just like all of us. The Shipleys like all of us, baby. That's good. We love that. All right. Thank you, Coach, for all the great stories. Thank you, CJ, for the time. We know you're in Vegas, so you got to get back to it. And thank you to my man, Matthew, behind the scenes. He does a great job, as always. He's the real MVP. Thank you for everybody joining us. Really appreciate all of your participation and love that the Owen Texas football family keeps growing. We're going to have a draft live watch actually coming up later on the On Texas Football channel. So it'll start up right when the NFL draft starts around 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll start up right here on Texas Football. So just be looking for that if you want to watch the draft with somebody so we can all celebrate the Longhorn representation in the first round. Hopefully they break that, not break the record, but tie the record from 1980 with the three Longhorns drafted in the first round. For Coach, for my man CJ Vogel, for my man Matthew behind the scenes, for Flat Creek Estate Winery, we appreciate them, for South Point Dodge and all their support. Guys, hook them.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.